And we're going to have the whole of that chapter read to us. Thanks, Sue. Let me just...
It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Jesus took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times."
Thanks, Sue. Well, let's keep that open in front of us, and then let's pray and ask for God's help together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this habit we have as a church of picking a verse which we pray to and hope will shape us for the year in which we're living. And Father, as we return to it today, we would ask, please, that you would give us open hearts this morning to respond to it again and to really seek you for our progress in obedience to these words. Father, please, would we know your prompting where we have failed, that we might repent this morning and come before you in sorriness and to seek your help. Father, may we rejoice where we see much evidence of your work in us. Father, please teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the question that I want us to think about really this morning, and this is what we're going to kind of spend our time looking at. But here's my question for you. Are we more loving in August than we were in January this year? Am I more loving today than I was 8 months ago? As a church, are we more loving today than we were 8 months ago? I mean, after all, that is what Jesus is instructing his disciples to do, isn't it? It's a command, a new command, something he wants us to obey, to enact out, to play our part in. A new command, I give you, love one another. Loving is something that every disciple should be involved in doing. Every disciple playing their part. A disciple, if you're newer here this morning, a disciple of the Lord Jesus is someone who has acknowledged and submitted to Jesus as Lord, one with authority, is trusting in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, and then starts a lifetime of learning. That's what a disciple is, a lifelong learner from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're apprentices of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is. And Jesus calls disciples to love one another. He calls the church, he calls us to love one another. As we put it at the start of the year, church, it is not a spectator sport. It's not something that you just kind of come to once a week, like going to the cinema and you consume and you get entertained and then you go home and have the rest of the week. Church is meant to be something where everyone's involved. It's a team game. And that's why the New Testament is so filled with these commands to do things or not do things to one another. So many times in the New Testament you read that phrase. Jesus calls disciples, and if that's you this morning, this is what he's calling you to love one another. That means it's something that I should be growing in. I should be advancing in love for one another. Now that's all well and good, right? You can say, okay, yeah. So am I more loving today than I was in January? Well, you might say, well, that's all well and good, but how do you measure that? How do you measure that you're growing in love? I mean, it's not like you could have taken a GCSE in love and get a mark this week like some of our teenagers did this week. It's not like you can get a GCSE in love and say, yeah, look, I've made progress because last year I only got 20 and this year I got 40, and aren't I doing well? So how do you measure your progress in love? Well, Jesus' words, I think, give us two tests this morning. Two ways to kind of assess whether, as an individual and as a collective, as a community, we really are progressing in love. And here's the first test. Test number one. How is my serving of others? So it's a way to look in this morning and just say, how is my serving of others? Now, you'll notice I've switched from using the word love to the word serve. Now, why have I done that? Well, because what Jesus is talking about in these verses, loving one another, is not so much talking about the emotion of love, but the action of love. He's not so much talking about the feeling that you might have towards someone as the actions that prove that feeling. That's what Jesus is talking about, actions that show that we truly feel deeply and strongly for one another. That's why Jesus is talking about in the context of John 13. He says it's a new command. Now, you might think, well, in what sense is it new? Because surely people loved each other, right? Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, and surely people loved each other before that. Surely people knew they should love each other before that. Surely God's people knew that. And the answer is, yes, they did. Just flick into Leviticus, and you'll discover there that God tells his people to love their neighbors as themselves. He tells them to love people. So what's new? What is Jesus calling to us that's new here? Well, it's that Jesus is raising the bar. He raises it from just loving your neighbor as yourself to, look at what he goes on to say, to love one another as he has loved us. That's what he's raising the bar with. How has Jesus loved us? How has Jesus loved us? He is calling us to love one another in the very same way that he has loved us. And how has he done that? Well, he served us. The Lord Jesus has become one who serves. There are definitely jobs, aren't there, that you really don't want to do for other people. We have lots of those jobs in the house. The food waste bin. Anyone have a food waste bin that sits in their kitchen? And it's disgusting, right? It is violation of humanity. Well, I don't know why you pile up all this old food in the corner of your kitchen, and there are the flies buzzing around it, and you know, and everyone's like, oh, someone else can do that job, and it's stinky and smelly, and you walk into the kitchen, and you're like, oh, don't want to do that job. There are jobs like that that will serve the family. You know, it will brighten everyone's face when they come into the kitchen when there isn't that stench there, but you don't do it. Because no one wants to go towards the stinky food waste bin, right? There are jobs like that in life that we just shy away from, we walk away from, that this innate bit of us says, well, I'm not going to do that job. And actually, there are some jobs, aren't they, that are just too stinky. But Jesus gives this instruction to love one another, to serve one another, in the context of having just done a job that nobody else wants to do. Jesus had just washed his disciples' stinky and dirty feet. He had served them. He'd done something that no one else wanted to do. He put them before himself. You'll know the story, John 13, that was read to us. But it was an occasion when they'd all come together. And in those days, they would have arrived having walked on dusty and mucky roads. And on an occasion like that, normally when you would arrive at someone's house, there would be somebody there, probably the lowest of servants, who would have had the job of washing the guest's feet. And on this occasion, there was nobody there to do it, and there was no one there who wanted to do it. They sat in this room, and you can imagine it, can't you? That you can put yourself in the room and imagine that innate sense of selfishness that wells up in all of us, thinking, well, I know it needs doing, but I don't really fancy doing it, so I'll wait for someone else to volunteer. No one in that room wanted to do that job except Jesus. And that's what makes Jesus so beautiful. Jesus, the most important person in that room, the Son of God, the one who, chapter 13, verse 1, tells us was about to return to the Father, the one who has all glory and splendor, he gets up from the table. He takes off his outer garments. He pours a bowl of water, and he goes around doing the job that no one else wants to do. You see, Jesus loved them. He loved them deeply, and so he serves them. He does for them what no one else wants to do. You see, look at chapter 13, verse 1. It tells us that this is an act of love. If you've got your Bible, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And what follows is a story of his love. But it's an act of service in the cleaning of their feet. It's an act of service that points beyond itself to an even greater act of service. In just a few hours after this meal, Jesus would once again take off his outer garments to serve his disciples. He would once again stoop low to serve his disciples. Jesus went to the cross. He laid down his life, not to clean disciples' stinky feet, but to clean disciples' lives of all those stains that rebelling against God and failing to love one another leave behind on our life. Jesus came to clean us. To clean us before a holy God. Just over a page in John 15, Jesus tells his disciples this. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, than he lays down his life for his friends." Jesus served us by laying down his life for us. That's what it looks like to love like Jesus. And I want to ask some of you here this morning, have you asked Jesus to love you in that kind of way? Have you asked Jesus to clean your life up? Not just our stinky feet, but to clean our lives of all those stains of sin. Jesus wants to clean us. He came to clean us. He came to serve. And for those of us this morning who sit here and with the joy in our hearts of having been cleaned up by Jesus as we've come to him, the question for us is, will I now love others like he has loved me? Will I serve others as he has served me? And so here's the first way we can assess whether we are growing in love. How is my serving of others going? As we look at the year so far, how is it going in doing those jobs that no one else puts their hand up for? How is it going in supporting others in a way that may have cost you in some way? Who have you served this year in a way that has disrupted your plans or spent money that you'd hoped to spend on something but you've now had to spend it on something else? Who have you served in that way this year? Who have you served in such a way that it's meant laying down your life, your wants, your diary, your money, your time, your sake, all for the sake of someone else? Or think about the one another statements. I can't even remember sometimes what I preached the previous week, so I don't expect you guys to. But actually, we went through a whole series at the start of the year, didn't it? It felt quite significant as we went through it in the one another statements. To assess our progress in love would be to assess, well, how are we doing at the one another statements? How are we doing at our hospitality? How are we doing it not grumbling? How are we doing it at putting others before ourselves? How are we doing at all those things we spent a term looking at together? See, am I more loving in August than I was in January? Well, I guess as we sit here this morning, and as I've done this week a little bit, there'll be lots of ways we respond to that. And the first thing I want to say right up front is as we assess ourselves with that question and we let the Spirit do his work on us as we ask that question, the first thing I want to say is thank you, God, that he is at work in this church family. There are some wonderful acts of love and service in this church family because of the work that God is doing among us. There is much to thank God for this morning, that as we progress through a year, actually there is people who love in this way. There are acts of love, of people laying down their lives, and maybe you've been party to some of those. Maybe you've been a contributor to those. Today, let's praise God that he's doing that work among us. So we want to say thank you this morning, don't we? But I guess also as you ask yourself this question, am I more loving? Who have I served this year in those kind of ways? There are probably, like me, things you want to say sorry for this morning. In these moments, we may want to repent and say, God, I'm sorry that on that occasion where I could have served, actually lent towards serving myself instead. When I could have got up from the table and washed somebody else's feet, actually I sat down and didn't do it. And wonderfully this morning, it's because Jesus served us that we know that as we confess those sins, we are forgiven for them. And actually this morning, as I assess myself and say, Lord, how am I getting on? Am I more loving now than I was in January? Actually, it makes me want to cry out, Jesus, I need your help. Because actually, I can't love like that on my own. I needed Jesus to love me in that way, to forgive me, and I still need his help to love that. So maybe the right response this morning is just to take these moments and say, Jesus, please help me to grow in loving like you. So here is test number one. Here is test number one. How is my serving of others? And this morning, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, that's not my experience of belonging to this church. Maybe you've started coming recently and you're thinking, well, I don't feel very loved like that. Then again, I want to say to you this morning, I'm really sorry. I'm genuinely sorry. If that is your experience of coming here, that you have not encountered a loving group of people, then we have failed you, and I'm sorry. But actually, one of the things to think about as we feel kind of perhaps that we're not being loved in this way is actually to take a positive step here and say, well, who can I love like that? Because one of the keys of being a community is it's not that it all falls on one person, praise God. You know, it's not my job to love everybody in this room as Jesus has loved us. I want to do that, but I can't be that to all people, and neither can you. But that's why he calls us to do it for one another. Because we play our part, and as the community plays their part in loving one another, we can't love everybody in this room with the active love that he's talking about. But we can play our part with the people that he's put around us. And that grows a community that loves one another. Does that make sense? So the first test, how am I doing at serving? Am I more loving? Well, check your serving. Check am I growing in serving others? Here's the second test. If you're still with me, still alive, everyone? No one's alive. That's good. Here's the second test. Boys and girls, it's on your sheet if you want it. And you've got to be slightly careful with this one, okay? I want to slightly nuance this one, but let's throw out the second test is this. What are others saying? What are others saying? By that I mean, are others around you noticing something in you that's a bit different? Are others around you noticing that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? Because where else does love like that come from? You see, that's what Jesus implies, isn't it, as he goes on. He says, by this, by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my disciple. If you have love, if you love one another, if you're serving one another. You see, as we love like Jesus, people will notice that we belong to Jesus. Now, some people have so much ignorance of Jesus that they may not know it's him we belong to, but they will notice that there's something different about these people. Some of you, I put the picture up at the start of the year, hopefully it will come up on the screen. Some of you will remember this moment when the footballer Kaká kind of ripped off his t-shirt and he got to his knees and he put this t-shirt, I belong to Jesus, and the whole watching world and all the TV cameras saw that here was a man who belonged to Jesus. And as we want the world to know that we belong to Jesus, well, we could all go out and buy t-shirts and just wear them down the street and say, I belong to Jesus. That would be a nice, simple way of doing it. But actually, Jesus says that there's another way we show the world that we belong to Jesus. Not by getting t-shirts, but by loving one another. Loving one another in the same way that Jesus has loved us. Loving one another with a self-sacrificing, self-abasing love that puts others before myself. See, there's only one place that love comes from. You see moments of it, glimmers of it sometimes in people, but there's only one place that you find that kind of love consistently in an unfailing way, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So showing love for each other by sacrificially serving one another is something that should get the world talking. about 150 years after the church was birthed, a man named Tertullian wrote about Christians. Christians were being persecuted in those early days, as they are still today across the world. But as he observed the Christians, this is what this man named Tertullian said, not a believer, but he says this about the church. He said, "See how these Christians love each other." That was what he saw. See how they love each other. How ready they are to die for each other. Now that was a real moment. 150 years after Jesus returned to heaven, that is what people were saying about the church. And it was that love for one another that became a magnet that drew so many in those early days of the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it had the ability to do it back then, friends, surely it has the ability to do the same today. One writer puts it like this: our love for one another will be the distinguishing mark of authenticity that we truly follow Christ. Let me say that again. Our love for one another will be the distinguishing mark of the authenticity that we truly follow Christ. So what are people saying about you? What are people saying about Enfield Town Community Church? What are people saying about the church in Enfield, the many churches that worship the Lord Jesus in Enfield? Are they saying, see how they love each other? See how willing they are to die for one another? That might just be a sign, if people are talking, people in your workplace or people in your family are beginning to see something different about you, that might just be a sign that you're growing in love. Let me come back to where we began. Are you, am I, are we as a church more loving in August than we were in January this year? How do you know? How do you test? Well, have a look at your serving. How is my serving of others? Am I growing in that Jesus-like, self-sacrificing, loving of others? And the second thing is, what are others saying? Are other people beginning to notice that there's something different about us? Not because we deserve a pat on the back, but because we're following the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And this morning, if you're here and you're not yet a disciple of the Lord Jesus, then I'm really pleased you're here this morning. But please can I ask you to let Jesus love you in the way that he's loved so many of us in this room. Ask him to clean you up of all those things that stain you before a holy God. Ask him to wash you clean and to serve you. Let's pray some of that in, shall we? I'm going to give a moment's quiet, just as perhaps the Holy Spirit has spoken something into your heart and life this morning about this verse and how we're getting on, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer together. Our Father in heaven, how we want to thank you this morning for the extraordinary love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, a love that has stooped so low to serve us. A love that laid down his life for us. To love like him, Father, seems impossible to us this morning as we look at our hearts. But we know that what Jesus calls us to, he will equip us for and empower us to do. Father, I want to thank you for every evidence of growing in love within this church family. Father, thank you for those who have acted this year in love, in Christ-like love, who have laid down their lives for others, serving and giving and disrupting timetables and all those things. Father, thank you for that good work, and we praise you because that is a work of your Spirit in us. And this morning we want to say sorry for the times that we've not loved in this way, where perhaps you've prompted us to love sacrificially, to walk towards something that was difficult and a bit tough and a bit stinky, and we haven't. Father, please help us to be an everyone in the game church. We want truly to love one another as Jesus has loved us, and we want to sacrificially serve one another. May Enfield Town, the community around us, say of this church and of Christians in this community, see how they love one another. And we ask this to the glory of Christ. Amen. 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 Well, let's sing, shall we, a final song.